Our Bible reading this morning is in two parts. We start at Luke chapter 24 and we start reading at verse 44. And this can be found on page 1062 in the Church Bibles. Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written: the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power on high." When he led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. And now if you'll just turn over with me to Acts chapter 1, which is found on page 1092. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but stay for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight.
Warm welcome to you from me, and we're going to be starting a series of three sermons looking at this. We are Romford Evangelical Church. That's our name, and in some senses we could have a better name, a name that mentions Jesus maybe might be better, but we could have a worse name as well. For example, the Ugly Church, which is the name of a church, the Ugly Village Church in Essex. That would be an awful name to have. Thankfully, we've got this one. We are Romford Evangelical Church. Romford Evangelical Church is actually a helpful name for us. Now, for some of you who have been long-time members, you'll notice that it doesn't say Romford Evangelical Free Church. There's not really enough time to go into this. Free means that we're not part of the established church. We're not part of the state church. To most people in the UK, they either don't know the difference, or to be brutally honest, They don't really care about the difference. There's three kinds of churches to most people in the UK. There's really traditional ones that are actually a little bit stuffy, maybe, or very formal. There's kind of slightly wacky ones, and then there's kind of average, normal, everyday churches. That's the categories that most people in the UK kind of work to. They don't know the difference between Baptist, Anglican, Pentecostal, free. Hence why it's not in our common name, the name that appears in the logo. Rest assured, it's still our formal name, it's still our legal name, but that's why it's not in the logo. Like I said, we haven't really got time to go into that, but over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be spending time thinking about the fact that we are Romford Evangelical Church. We're going to be looking at Romford today, in the sense that Jesus gives us our gospel mission. That's what we're going to be looking at today, that Jesus gives us our gospel mission. And then next week, David is going to take us through the evangelical part, that Jesus gives us our gospel authority. And then in a couple of weeks' time, an all-age service, we're going to be looking at the church aspect, that Jesus gives us our gospel identity. So that's what we're doing over the next 3 weeks. And then beyond that, we're going to be spending time looking at biblical manhoods. And we're hoping to spend time looking at a book in the Old Testament, probably Obadiah, sometime in July. So there's a roadmap of what we're doing over the next couple of weeks, couple of months. As we begin, why don't I pray for us? Father God, I pray that we would be your church, that we would submit to and honour your authority in the Bible, and that we would be your people in this place of Romford and beyond. I pray that you would open our eyes to see what the Scripture says, and I pray that you would open our hearts so that we can believe it, accept it, and live it out. Amen. Do please take up your Bibles. We're going to be looking at those two passages that had read to us. I'm also going to sneak in a third, just because I'm Trinitarian. We're going to be starting at looking at our mission. We're going to be thinking about our mission. And the first thing that we're going to see is that our mission continues Jesus's mission. When I say mission, I could use the word evangelism. The problem with evangelism is that it's an easy word to get wrong or to have wrong ideas of or to compartmentalize into a little box. Mission is what we're about. Mission is what we're about. And so we're going to be thinking about our mission. We're going to be thinking about what it is and how we're to do it and things like that. But the first thing we're going to see, it continues Jesus' mission. Do turn up Luke chapter 24. We're going to focus in on verses 46 and 47. I've put the key verses on the screen. If you're able to read them, then feel free, but do have your Bibles open as well. Jesus here, he's on the Emmaus Road. He's talking to some of his disciples. And he opens up the scriptures to them. He opens up the Bible so far to them. The scriptures would have been the Old Testament, as we have it. And he opens up the Bible to them, but how? Take a look at these verses. Jesus told them, this is verse 46, Jesus told them, this is what is written in the scriptures, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. If I was to ask you what is the story, what is the point of the Bible, then I'm pretty certain if you would call yourself a Christian, or if you've been a Christian for some time, or if you're even exploring what Christianity is about, I'm guessing you will say that the whole Bible is about Jesus and his death on the cross for us, or something like that. That Jesus, and I hope, given the recent sermons, that you would include Jesus and his death for us and his resurrection and the new life he gives. And that's true, but take a look at what Jesus does. Take a look at what Jesus says. He opens up their minds to understand the scriptures, And this is what he told them. The Christ will suffer. This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. The whole story of the Bible is about Jesus, and it is about his death and resurrection, his death for us and his resurrection to new life that he gives us. Absolutely. And it's about this momentous news going forth from God's people to all the world. You see, the gospel, preaching the gospel, has been what Jesus has been about all the way through the Bible. Right from Genesis. Just think about when Adam and Eve first sinned. What did God say to Eve? There will be one who comes from you who will crush the head of the serpent. It's the good news. Often when we think about our mission, when we think about telling people about Jesus, when we think about preaching the gospel, rightly we go to passages like Matthew 28, and it's a good place to go. We're going to kind of take a look at it a little bit later. But don't make the mistake of thinking that the mission, our mission as God's people, started then, when Jesus is ascending into heaven and he sends his people out. Don't think that that's when it started. That, if you like, is when God's people get given the Spirit with them, in them, so that all people of God, everybody who calls themselves a Christian, can shine as a light to the nations. But Jesus has been about that before then. The Old Testament is littered with the idea of the message of the Lord going out to the nations. I mean, just think about the promise to Abraham, Genesis 12. You will be a blessing to the whole earth. From you will be a blessing to all the earth. Just think about the Egyptians and the Exodus. How there are Egyptians and aliens and strangers, not green men aliens, aliens as in national aliens, aliens and strangers in their midst. As they leave Egypt, some of the Egyptians go with them, some of the people go with them. As they're on their way, aliens and strangers are in their midst, drawn to this people, drawn to this God. Think about Rahab. She is a prostitute for sure, but she is not one of God's people. And what does she do? She responds to the Lord. She hears about him just like everyone in Jericho did. And it, rather than quaking in her boots, she looks for a way to join them. God has been about, Jesus has been about drawing people to himself. Think of Ruth, a Moabitess, the enemy of God's people. And she says to Naomi, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. And think about the references to the light of God's people, the light of the Lord being shone to the nations, to the Gentiles. In the four books that we call the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see Jesus accomplishing that first part of his mission, to die for sinful man, to give us new life through his resurrection, now that our sin has been taken away, to bring us back to God now that our sin has been paid for. And now that Jesus has returned to heaven and left us his Spirit, which incidentally is better than if Jesus was with us, I hope you get that. The Spirit of God in us is better than Jesus with us. Jesus says it is better if I go to the Father, because then my Spirit will be in you. He's left us his Spirit so that we can continue his mission. He was the first man of God in the true sense. And he had the Spirit on him, and he gives us the Spirit so that we can be like him in shining forth the gospel to the nations, so that we can continue his mission that he has been about thus far through all human history. You see, in the Old Testament, Jesus is at work. He's not physically present as a man with a human body, but he's there, shining a shadowy light of the gospel through the Old Testament, through Old Testament Israel. And now, Jesus is at work in us, through us, shining the brilliant light of the gospel through the church. That crystal clear light of salvation, repentance, and faith and forgiveness in the name of Jesus. See, as Jesus' church, we get to continue his mission. And the place that we are to go to, in terms of this gospel, this light going out to all nations, it is Romford and Havering and London and Essex and this region, this area. And we do that by preaching repentance and forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus, because it's only in the death and resurrection of Jesus that people can be forgiven through repentance and faith. That is our mission. That is what we're about. And it continues Jesus' mission. And so the question we're left with, are we going to continue what has been going on for the last 4,000 plus years? Are we going to continue Jesus' mission here, in this place, at this time? Thinking of that the gospel being a light that shines, think of it like this. When I was about 10, I took part in the 500-year celebration of the Spanish, us whipping the Spanish Armada. Apologies for any Spanish people here, but we beat you then. When the Spanish Armada was sailing up towards Britain, somebody came up with a clever idea that somebody on the south coast will sit there looking out, and then as soon as they see the Armada, light a beacon, and then further on, there'll be another beacon, and they'll be looking out for that first beacon, and then they'll light theirs, and that will continue until it gets to Tilbury Docks, I think it was, where the English fleet was ready to set sail, and off they would go and meet them in the channel. Okay, and so there's that idea of that light shining, being passed on from beacon to beacon. And so the question we're left with, okay, if Jesus' mission is to shine the light of his gospel, that repentance and forgiveness in his name, through his death, through his resurrection, be preached to all nations, if that is what he's about, and we are to continue that, are we going to do that? Are we going to light that next beacon? Or are we going to be the church whose beacon remains unlit? Are you going to be the person of God, the Christian, whose beacon remains unlit? Or are you going to shine the gospel of Jesus, that glorious gospel that has begun back in Genesis and finishes in Revelation 20 and 21? Are you going to shine that light and continue that mission? So that's the first thing. Our mission continues Jesus' mission. And that's a great thing, and that's a motivation in and of itself, but we get more. We get this. That our mission is given by Jesus, who expects us to go. And this is where we need to flip on to Acts chapter 1. And we saw there, didn't we? So in Acts is written by Luke. It's kind of Luke part 2, if you like. And in Luke's first book, he's writing to a guy called Theophilus, and he tells him about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And if you like, Acts is all that Jesus continued to do and to teach through his church. There's that continuation of that mission. And we get this in verse 1. He says to his disciples, he says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on earth, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You will be my witnesses. That's his expectation. It's given by Jesus, who expects us to go. You will be my witnesses in these places. And this is where we can kind of bring in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. In Acts 1 verse 8, it's an expectation. In Matthew 28, it's a clear command. It's not as if Jesus hasn't made it clear what we should do, is it? It's pretty clear his expectation and his command is, be my witnesses. Go make disciples that know and follow me, that they might be witnesses. And there's that sense of that beacon passing on. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let's make no mistake. Actively and deliberately telling people about Jesus and his gospel is not an optional extra as a Christian. It is a fundamental expectation. It is a clear command. Go. Be my witnesses. Tell people, urge people, implore people, be reconciled to God. That's what we're going to look at in a second. Actively and deliberately going out to lost sinners who need this gospel is what Jesus expects and he commands us. Not hiding or retreating behind safe church walls, physical or metaphorical. Let me put it like this. Every moment you and I have missed or even chosen not to speak, and to my shame, I can remember those, is something to confess to Jesus, repent of, seek his forgiveness in, and ask the Spirit's help in afresh. Is that something you need to do this morning? You see, every evangelistic group or event carried out on this kind of sense of home ground is something to confess. Because he tells us, go. Don't huddle together at the expense of the lost. And the pattern we get in the Bible is that God's people gathering together to worship him, and as they worship him, they go and they scatter into the world. Sure, they might scatter in clusters, households, groups of people, but the sense is clear. They're going and preaching the gospel wherever they went. That's what we see in Acts 8, I think it is. Wherever they went, they preached the word. Jesus' mission is to take his good news, his gospel, to every corner of the earth, including Romford. It's the plan of God's, and it is no optional extra. If you call yourself a Christian here this morning, if you are aware that you are saved by the only Saviour, then humbly, get on with it. Get on and tell people. Get on and tell the millions of people out there who are lost and dead in sin without a Saviour. Start with your family and your friends and your colleagues. Start with the person that the Holy Spirit is putting in your head and on your heart right now. Start with them. Tell them. Make sure you have told them. Tell everyone. So our mission, it continues Jesus' mission. It's given by Jesus, who expects us to go. And then please turn with me, 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to read from verse 11. We're going to focus in on a couple of verses. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. This is Paul writing to the Corinthian church. We're not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that we can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we're out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we're in our right mind, it is for you. He's kind of making it clear. Look, our ministry is true gospel ministry. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. He's just described what we are, and he goes on to say, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Our mission shows that we have grasped the gospel for ourselves. We're going to focus in on those couple of verses, verse 11 and verse 14. It says, since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. And he says in verse 14, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. You see, I hope that as you think about what Jesus has done for us, that as you see that the mission of Jesus is what the whole Bible is about, that the preaching the gospel is part of what the whole Bible is about, that as you see that Jesus sends us and commands us and expects us to go to all nations, and that includes Romford. And as you think about the lost people in your life and the lost people in this place of Romford, I hope and I pray that you've got that missional fire in you, even just a spark. You see, our desire and our compulsion to tell people about Jesus, it doesn't come from guilt. Please, don't be guilt-tripped this morning. I am trying to implore you. I am trying to stir you up. But I'm stirring you up because of Jesus, because of what he has done and because of what he has said. Our desire and our compulsion to tell people about Jesus, it comes from Jesus, doesn't it? And therefore, it is an indicator of our grasp of who he is and what he has done. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. We know what Jesus has done. We know how awesome and mighty and holy he is. We know how much he cannot stand sin. We know the wrath of God that is being poured out and will be poured out on the last day. We know what it is to fear men, to fear God. And when you think of that, and you see your family that do not know Jesus, and you see your friends and your work colleagues that do not know Jesus, and you see the eternal peril they're in, what do? You try and persuade them. If you've really understood it, you'll try and persuade them. There's a reason why you shout at your children when they're pegging it out into the road or about to get run over by a bus. You are persuaded, you are convinced of the situation. You know the danger they're in. And what do? You persuade them by yelling at them, by yanking their arm off, by rugby tackling them to the ground, whatever it takes. If we rightly do that with our children, if we rightly tell people when they're in danger of a bus or about to stick their fingers in a socket or whatever it is, how much more when faced with their eternal consequences for sin? And so, if we haven't got that gospel spark in us, if we haven't got that fire in us, it does suggest that the relationship we have with our Saviour is not as strong as we think it is, if it's there at all. If you're sitting here and you're aware that you're cold and hard to this need to live for Jesus and tell people about him, then may I ask you this: what does that say of your grasp of Jesus? What does that say of your grasp of his good news? Let me be clear, we are saved through faith in Jesus alone. Whether we tell people about him is not a condition for salvation, but it is an indicator of our relationship with him. If you like, it reassures us. Our assurance comes by looking at the cross and Jesus dying for us. That's how we're saved. Whether we are telling people about him or not reassures us or not. And he says, for Christ's love compels us. If you know the cost that Jesus paid to purchase lost sinners, then you will be compelled to tell people about him, because we're convinced of it. We're convinced that one died for all, therefore all died. We're convinced that everyone is able to turn and be saved in the name of Jesus. If you have that spark in you, then pray for God to grow that passion, that heart, that desire to tell people about Jesus. Share that with your community group. Get them praying for you. Get them helping you. Work together. Let's take the words this morning. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. And let's get on with the mission that Jesus has given us. If you're hard and cold to it, if this isn't making a difference in your heart, even just a little bit, then you might be someone struggling as a Christian, feeling unable, feeling unwilling. That might be you. If it is, then turn to Jesus, trust him, that's that word, repent, and ask him to help you. Maybe you've forgotten what you've been saved from. Maybe the reason why it's not making a difference is that actually you've forgotten what Jesus has done for you. That you've let it just slip out of your head and out of your heart. If that's you, then turn to Jesus. Turn back to him. Remind yourself of what he has done. Grab your Bible, turn up the Gospels, get reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Read about this Saviour, read about his death for you. Read 1 Corinthians 15. Read these passages, remind yourself of what Jesus has done. Allow his word and his spirit to reignite that passion to fulfil his mission. Ask him to help you afresh. Ask him to open your eyes. But also, let me be honest, if you're sitting here and this isn't making a blind bit of difference, then you might not even be a Christian. Seriously examine your heart, your life, your mind. Is Jesus your Lord and Savior? Have you given your life to him? Have you asked him to take your sin away? If the answer is yes, then be certain you are saved because it's about him. Do ask Jesus to help you live for him. But if you find yourself going, I don't think I've ever done that. I don't think I've ever given my life to Jesus. Then start today. Ask him to take your sin away. Ask him to give you a new life. Ask him to join you to his mission to take this gospel out to the world. We often use the phrase, tell people about Jesus. And as we finish, I just wanted to spend some time thinking about, okay, what does that look like? What does that mean? Here's our mission, to tell people the gospel and urge them to turn to Jesus. We do this because we're convinced that it's Jesus' mission to save people from all nations. That's what Jesus has been about. That Jesus has told us to go and do this. And that without turning to Jesus, people are dead in sin. And so the world needs Jesus. Romford needs Jesus. My family, my friends need Jesus. And so here are five steps, five things, a bit of a framework if you like. If it's helpful, great. Here's five steps to telling people about Jesus. One, allow the gospel to captivate your heart. Our passion for Jesus comes from him. Our passion, our awareness that people need the gospel comes from our awareness of him and what he has done for us. Please don't jump over this step. As believers, daily remind yourself of who Jesus is and what he has done, and it will spur you on. Gather with your community group, spur one another on, starting with Jesus. Number two, be actively involved in people's lives. Be actively involved in your local community. Be actively involved in your family. And let me be clear, if that means stopping doing things at church in order to take the gospel out to the lost, go for it. Do it. We would much rather have a church that gathers on a Sunday and does nothing else if it's a church that takes the gospel out to the lost. If we're a church that is just gathering together just for our sake, we are failing this mission. We are failing as a church. Be actively involved in people's lives. Join that sports club. Go to that library. Be involved in that family, that section of your family. Be involved in people's lives and do it actively and intentionally. Number three, live like Jesus to earn that gospel credit. In our day and culture, it's very hard just to go straight in and tell people the gospel, bam, outright, completely, without any relationship with them. That's why the people that, and I love them, but I think they're going about it the wrong way. The people that stand up in a train carriage and declare the gospel, I'm there going, amen, you don't know anyone, and they don't know you. You've got to, in our day and age, you've got to actively be involved in people's lives to earn credit to tell someone about Jesus. We looked at this on Sunday night. You've got to have a strong relationship with someone to tell them strong things. Live like Jesus to earn that gospel credit. And as that, if you like, think of it like a bank account. As your bank account increases, as you live like Jesus and people see, wow, he's different, she's different, why do they do that? Then you'll get these opportunities to speak of Jesus as that gospel credit grows. Do look for opportunities to tell people about Jesus outright without any relationship being grown. But be mindful that, generally speaking, it goes hand in hand with how you are living, the relationship that you have with them. And as that relationship grows, make use of those opportunities. Tell people about Jesus in real life situations. As somebody facing sickness and suffering, say, I believe Jesus can help you in this situation. He's God, he's Lord. Can I pray for you? And they might ask why, and that gives you the opportunity to tell them. Some of us are facing difficult situations, and you can speak about Jesus in those situations. I'm facing this tough situation, but I trust that God has got it under control because he's Lord. And I just have to look at the cross. It's a really bad thing where Jesus died and God used it for great good. And so I can trust him in this. That's telling people about Jesus. Speak of Jesus as gospel credit grows and involve other Christians where possible. Let me tell you, let me finish with why this is important. Let me read the end of the Bible. Revelation 20, starting at verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Friends, your family, your friends, your colleagues, your town, your nation, anyone who doesn't know Jesus, their name is in those books of works. And they will be judged for what they have done. And they will come up short, just as we did. But by telling them about Jesus, their names may be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when they trust in him and believe in him, it is shown that their name is in that book. And it is only by being in that book that they are spared judgment, because judgment has already fallen on Jesus and they are with him eternally in blessing and comfort and paradise with Jesus. Now get to it. Let's pray. Amen. Lord, we pray that you would work in us, that we would continue your mission here in Romford, in our families, with our friends, in our workplaces. Lord, you have shown us that you expect us and you command us to go. And we want to honour you and fulfil that commission, that command. Lord, we do this because we are aware of how great you are and how glorious your gospel is. And we want that to spur us on to tell people about Jesus. Reassure us as we do it, we pray. And please, may we keep that last day forever in our minds as we urge people to be reconciled to God through Jesus. Amen.